welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Colds, colds, colds. We're finally at the end of the cold season. Mark, are you feeling okay?
Yeah. Avoided it another year. And although we're not quite through it here, there's still quite a bit of a respiratory infection going on here in Athens.
Could be allergies, but it could be colds. It feels like you and I have talked in the past about echinacea. We're going to talk again. This is an article from the Annals of Internal Medicine. Quickly, by way of background, the echinacea species are plants that are found throughout North America. They're often called coneflowers, at least out here in the West. They grow quite wildly, used by Native American groups, primarily in the Great Plains, used for burns and snake bites and coughs and sore throats, that is, by the Native Americans. Now that we've gotten a hold of it, we use it for, it seems like, almost everything. Echinacea is mainly used in the United States for treating and preventing respiratory tract infections, and there's been a whole host of studies, lots of sales of this, millions and millions of dollars spent on the drug. There are some bioactive ingredients in echinacea. I'm not going to try to pronounce all of these chemicals, but the FDA requires that there be a standardized amount of echinacea in over-the-counter products, although many, many of them contain all kinds of other active ingredients, and the FDA and the Federal Trade Commission are silent on what goes into those drugs. So our patients certainly should be cautious about what is in the product in addition to the echinacea. Anyways, in laboratory petri dishes, echinacea tends to cause macrophages to be activated, and it causes the release of tumor necrosis factor and interleukins, as well as interferon. When you move from petri dishes to animals, it does seem to affect small mammals' immune systems, in part by increasing the number of circulating white cells, particularly lymphocytes, and also increases phagocytosis. So all of that is probably more than you need to know as a clinician, but what you do need to know is that lots and lots of your patients are using these drugs. So this article, again from the Annals, asks a simple question, which is, does echinacea shorten the duration or decrease the severity of symptoms for the common cold? Mark, what did the authors find?
Yeah, this is from a group at University of Wisconsin, Bruce Barrett and his colleagues. They do great work, really good primary care researchers in the Department of Family Medicine there. I actually saw him present this at the North American Primary Care Research Group meeting in November, and it won an award there for one of the best studies out of that group. So what they did, they put up ads around the community to recruit people with cold symptoms. They tried to get people very early in their cold. They recruited 719 patients with cold symptoms, about half of whom came in within 24 hours, and they hadn't started any other treatment. The patients were mostly white, 80% had some college education, and there weren't a lot of smokers, so in other words, it kind of sounds like Madison, Wisconsin. The patients were randomized using concealed allocation to one of four groups: no treatment, placebo, unblinded echinacea, or masked echinacea. So they were also looking at the placebo effect here. Really, they were not only, so you didn't just have echinacea versus placebo. It was, you know, you're getting echinacea, but you don't know it. You're getting a placebo, or you're getting nothing. And so half of the patients got echinacea. Half of them didn't know what they got. Echinacea treatment consisted of this 1,655 milligrams of E. purpurea root and 600 milligrams of E. augustifolia root, so a couple of different species. And they treated patients with a couple of tablets at enrollment, then three more doses of two tablets within 24 hours, a little loading dose, and then one tablet four times a day for 4 days. They had great follow-up. Every day, patients kept a diary of their symptoms and how much the function was impaired. They looked at the area under the symptom severity duration curve, which means that if you imagine a graph with the x-axis being the days of symptoms and the y-axis being how bad they are each day, if you look at the area under that curve, worse symptoms, there'd be more area under that curve. You've got worse symptoms for a longer period. And they found, they also looked at the mean, and actually backing up a little, this area was a little lower, statistically significantly, maybe clinically significantly, in the echinacea group than in the placebo groups. The mean illness duration in the blinded and unblinded echinacea groups was about 6.3 and 6.8 days, compared with 6.9 and 7.0 in the placebo groups. And while it was a little lower, it was not statistically significant. There was a trend toward benefit in the blinded echinacea patients compared to the blinded placebo patients, which is sort of the traditional clinical trial. And so they had an improvement in the symptom scale. And I got to point out, the symptom scale is the Wisconsin Upper Respiratory Symptom Scale, or WURSS. Now, why they didn't come up with a way to call it the worst, WURST, you know, bratwurst, Wisconsin, I just, it always kills me. You know, it's like, God, find a T, guys. That would have been so great. But anyway, we digress. Results were similar when you only looked at those who got treatment within the first 24 hours. And so what they, I think the bottom line is that they found some possible benefits, some modest benefits. The researchers are actually a little more negative than I was when I read the study. You know, they were not impressed. I don't think anyone should be terribly impressed with the results. But it wasn't harmful. There was some modest, small symptomatic benefit. And so I guess if someone really wants to take this stuff, it's not going to kill them. It'll cost them some money. It seems to be safe. It may help a little bit, but I wouldn't go out of my way to recommend it to my patients.
Right. You know, and you have to remember, Mark, that our patients, when they get colds, are often taking things like Robitussin and other medicines that have never been shown to work either. So if this has some modest benefit, perhaps if they're going to take something and they're going to, you know, feel as though it's helping them, they might as well take this. Another echinacea study. Thank you, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week.
Yeah, hopefully the last echinacea study. We'll see.
I doubt it.
Thanks, Mike. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.